danced and rejoiced and praised God all over the temple. But look at what Carl Religion had to say. And he said, now this is Acts chapter 4. You know, in verse 4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Am I right? Yeah. I'm gonna come on down. Little feedback. Verse 7, it says, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You know, he's talking to people, but you know what spirit is behind this. All right. If we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at nothing of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you live in Jesus' presence, these things will, miracles will be a natural part of your life, because the Holy Spirit will be able to rest on you. This is your heritage. All we have to do is yield. We don't have to work for it. We pray and we break through because the enemy is trying to stop us. But if the enemy didn't fight us, it would be easy. We just got to get better at breaking through and sticking to what the Lord is saying. We have to believe. If you're going to do something for God, you got to believe in it. If you listen to the persuasions of the principalities through people, then you'll stop believing in what you're doing. But they were fully persuaded. Now, again, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, so you don't have to know everything, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when I say you don't have to know anything, that's not an excuse. You can always learn from the Holy Spirit. But when you need knowledge you don't have, he's right there with you. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When you live the light, when you do what's right, then you stop the process of Satan. And you live boldly in the eyes of every person, even the people that were sent to do the bidding of the principality of Jerusalem. They were silenced. They could say nothing against it. They didn't know what to do with these men, just like they won't know what to do with you. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. Now, they didn't repent. They wanted to understand how to undo it. I'm going to tell you something about the leaders of the countries according to Psalm chapter 2. They know some things that we know. They didn't repent, and their plots are to shut it down. Some of them are witches. Some of them are just evil men. Some of them are just wicked. And they will even plant pastors in places. And I knew this a long time ago. And they leverage them through money and finance. And they water the word down. See, this thing goes deeper. And, you know, when you spend time with the Lord, you know everything is not just an accident. Some things are deliberate. Well, they tried to figure out how we're going to shut this down. And they couldn't. And But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no more in that name. So there's a pushback. There's a credible pushback against Christ through men from a principality that Satan sent. This is why when people get healed and you tell your testimony, some people get angry because they don't want to believe that. And some people are receptive, and we tell our testimonies in hopes that people will get on board. But I've seen the countenances of people's faces. Sometimes people get angry, just like these men, because Satan has leveraged them. And everybody don't want Jesus to be their Lord. They'll rather take their chances than have Jesus be their Lord. Jesus talked about this in the parable. You know, when he sent the three servants, and then he sent his son. You know, the owner of the field said, they won't kill my son, but they wanted to kill him too. Everybody's not on board. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb, you know, the man invited the people to the wedding and everybody had something to do and they didn't. That's how people are. And the Lord has to deal with it. When people are compromised, he hides his face. Remember when Israel, they kept getting into idolatry and then the Lord had to do a judgment. Isaiah chapter 6, he blinded Israel. Now, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. He came back when the 5 ran out of oil. He waited on them to run out of oil, then he came back. Because he knew that they were not with him. But to us, they look like they are. This thing goes deep, and the Lord was addressing things like that. Some people have broken through when other people have rejected. And if we understand these facts, then we can cooperate with the Lord better. And there are people who break through, and the Lord is not lazy. Every person that breaks through, the Lord immediately uses them. And most of the time, he used people. If they didn't take time to train, he can do notable things, and he'll hide the effectiveness of what you've done from you so that you don't get in pride. Because people can get, if you get in pride, the enemy is going to leverage you another way. And I learn these things from asking questions. So I don't try to do everything that is a good idea. I do what I'm sanctioned for. That was a man who decided to go and he went to South America. They made a movie about it. He flew down there in his plane and he was going to be a missionary down there. The Lord didn't send him. He just went because he wanted to do something. He wanted to do something for God. But he had no training. And the tribal people killed him. Now, when you do something for God, if you're trained, if you have the sanction, it's going to work. If you don't have a sanction, if God didn't send you, it can't work. It can't work like it should. And you can end up losing your life or making a mess. When the Lord do something, he prepare you and he teach you and train you so that you don't get in pride. Then he'll have to resist you and hide his face from you. He does things perfectly. And there are people who broke through in every category. There are people who broke through enough to do a work for God. And the Lord will have them to do it. And then they go, after they've done it, then the Lord will go, they go on about their business. They don't know the magnitude of what they've done and the way they've interrupted the enemy. And this is throughout the Word of God. People said the right thing at the right time. You know, a prophet came to David and told him he was the man that stole the sheep. And that was a simple word to him, but it saved the king's life. This put David back on track, which put Israel back on track, which enabled God to say, he's a man after my own heart. Now, he said the word. He probably left. When you give a word to a king, he was probably trembling when he said it. Maybe he was bold. I don't know. But he did the work. We can do the work of the ministry, and it's the same thing. It works. But the Lord don't always show you the magnitude of it. And sometimes we don't need to see it. We need to keep doing what he said and do. And we're strong where we're sanctioned. We don't have to look. Remember, the Lord hides his face from the wicked. He gives grace to the humble. I'm not just saying this. He taught me these things over time. He will I like the fact that I can't see how far my ministry goes. I just keep doing what he said do. I saw it through Brother Horton that day. All this was made plain to me. Sometimes, and you have to stick with, if you don't believe in what you're doing, it's not, you're going to stop. And the enemy will leverage you against what you're doing. If something's working, this motivational speaker, he said, if something's working, keep doing it. Just keep doing it. If the Lord says stop, then stop. But if the, otherwise, keep doing it, because it's effective. But let's look at what they said. They called them, this is Acts 4:18 again, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's what the enemy is trying to get us to do through others. But we won't listen. We're just like Peter and John who answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You judge it. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Never be afraid of the enemy's works. The Lord knows how to leverage the enemy. But you have to, our faith has to remain on just like our light, which is our love. If that's in place, then the Lord can fight for us. He can show us our wisdom. They walked out of that courtroom. The man could do nothing. They were leveraged because the people glorified God and they were afraid. Nobody's more afraid than Satan. Satan is very afraid and desperate. And his principalities are afraid. And it goes right on down the line. And people who don't want God, Jesus Christ, to be their Lord, they can't handle you. They can't handle the name of Jesus. They run. They see angels that protect us. They sense that they're going to lose. When we follow, remember, the seven stars in the hand of Jesus, that's the sanction. Whatever spirit you yield to, that's the kind of spirit you are. Remember when John and the disciples asked Jesus, do you want us to call fire down out of heaven and burn up the people that was giving them opposition? He said, you don't know what spirit you are or what spirit you're like. If you act in cooperation with any spirit, that's the type of spirit you are. Even the Holy Spirit is recognized as the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge. When he give you knowledge, he's a spirit of knowledge. When he give you wisdom, he's a spirit of wisdom. When he give you counsel, he's a spirit of counsel. When he give you might, he's a spirit of might and the Spirit of the Lord. He can be whatever we need him to be. And Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth, so he will never lie to you. If you don't have to know everything. We gain skills from learning the Word, but those skills are activated when we are guided by the Holy Spirit, who guides. I just take in the Word, and then whatever the Lord gives me understanding of for the case that I got to do. If I have to minister something, he show me what he wants to relay. And I was guided into this. And it started back when he said, when he talked about breakthrough. I think that was one of the first ones we dealt with on the podcast. Uh-huh. And he's been consistent. He talked about light. He talked breakthrough, light, and proceeding in the light. And now he's showing us what we fight. And it still goes back to us maintaining our love for God, our patience. It's a blessing you can't see everything. I don't look at it as a liability. I look at it as an asset. If I need to see something, the Lord will show it to me. And I've had him to explain things. All I have to do at that point is keep it. If you can keep what he said, he don't like to say the same thing to keep you in faith. He'll say the same thing to strengthen your faith. But he don't like to start all the way from the beginning and try to re-encourage you and get you back. He expect you to stay in faith. He expect you to proceed. He don't expect you to fall back. He told them that they fell away from their first love. It wasn't an accident. It was the choices they made. I'm going to close with this. Whenever I'm in opposition and don't know what to do, first thing I do is get in peace. I relax. because I know I'm about to learn something. Now, when the Lord had me to do my own business, I took a side road, and I knew that he didn't tell me to take a side road. When I, in 1987, that was the year that he called me to the ministry. I started my own business in 1986. And then the spring of 87, I had an old truck that and I got it running. It ran real good, but it got to the point it would drive about a mile and a half and cut off, and it would sit there for 15 minutes. Now, then it'll crank up and I could drive another mile and a half and it'll do it again. I made it home. Took me a long time to get home, but I got there. And I prayed about the problem. I did everything I thought about. Everything I learned in school, nothing worked. Kept doing it. And I went in the living room at my old house, my first house, and I prayed. I said, "Lord, what's going on with this truck?" He said, "Check your fuel line." So I went out there and I replaced all the fuel line. And it still did the same thing. I said, "I must have missed God." Then I thought about it. I said, "I didn't look inside the tank." And when I opened the cap, I saw rust. I said, "Oh, it's been sucking air and it's trapped in the carburetor. That's why it does that. And it takes 15 minutes for it to bleed out." So I ran me a line all the way down the tank. But in the meantime, I took a job. And that was not a good job. It was at Ernest McCarty Ford. It was a long way from the house, and it was long hours, and it didn't pay good. But that was where I met Slim, who I almost got in a fight with. Now, when I've told you this before, when I was at my weakest moment, and I was about to fight, and people had gathered around, here's the preacher going to fight. And the Lord said, "Everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil." And my spirit was at peace again. I had strength. I said, "Man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're just going to talk about it." And we stayed friends. You know, he was testing me to see if I was sincere, because we got along good up to that point. And I said, "Lord, this is going to happen again." I said, "I know how I am, and I know that, you know, I grew up fighting. If somebody aggravated me enough, I'd fight." I said, but you did something that I didn't know you could do. And I said, "Teach me this. Teach me how to love your people." Now, that's the reason I'm happy. I thank God that I took that side road to go there. And you know, the fuel line got me there, but that's why I believe I was there, because that changed my life. I learned how to love his people, and from doing that, I learned other skills. So your first love is very, 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 very important. Build on it. You're not alone. When everything looked like it all failed, when your best efforts look like it's not working, stop expecting how it's the turnout. Just do it because God said it, and relax in him. Watch him. Don't watch the progress, because growth is, you know, you can't see a person grow, just like you can't see, you know, corn gets bigger, but people don't get bigger, no bigger than they're going to get anyway. But on the inside, they're growing roots, and then they start being mature in life. They start walking in the light, and you can't see, you know, when you can't see that. So you don't need to see. You just need to do. Remember, the seven churches were greatly outnumbered. There were more sinners than saints. And the saints had to learn. But the apostles were sanctioned. And they still turned the world upside down. And you can look around and see the progress of the... If the seven churches were not in place, the cities would probably have been destroyed a long time ago. But those same cities are still there, and there are, that God has people that survived it, that were persecuted, everything, but they still follow God. So that is a thriving revival in current time now. But I can't go and point to it. I just know it by the Holy Spirit. If you go in the Lord's presence, he'll share the same thing. But the more you follow him, the more you are in agreement with him, the more you'll understand what he's doing. But all of our troubles come from those principalities that worked against you. You could see it plain as day in Jerusalem. Every city they went to had one, not just the seven churches, but though the enemy sent his best principalities to fight the church where it was the strongest. These are the seven churches that Jesus selected to give us example by. So I know the enemy, he sent his best principalities to those regions. And he's done a lot to shut down the church. Why would people from a denominational church stick with such a narrative that's not working? And they see the word at face value. The enemy has leveraged people into it. When people believe something and then they have pride in what they believe, it's hard for them to get out of it. But when you're honest to God, when you just love God and his word, that's all it takes. That's why every child of God is very important. I'm going to close with this. Jesus said, there's no prophet greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So I don't underestimate anybody. I know what the Lord can do. If a person can pay attention, God can use them. And however he chooses to use them is perfect. Whatever he gives them to do, it does great. That great success happens when we follow him. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank there's a peace in understanding what the Lord is saying. When you get on board with him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Olivia's up. But I thank God for that. Any questions, comments?
I have a comment, Brother Apostle Thurston.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned about John the Baptist being the greatest.
Yeah.
And he was. But like you said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, because John the Baptist introduced the kingdom. He didn't get a chance to live in.
That's right.
But we are getting the opportunity to live in the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Where all things are possible. We're getting the opportunity not just to live in the kingdom, but the kingdom to live in us.
Yes, that's perfect. That's right.
And that's what makes us greater. We got all the kingdom in us.
That's right.
And John the Baptist got his head taken.
Yeah.
But we get an opportunity, not just to introduce the kingdom, but to allow the kingdom to live in us.
Yeah.
That makes us powerful. The greater one
is
in us.
Our life introduces people to the kingdom. People that won't read the word, if we live the word, they see us. And people are smart. They are. They can judge good and evil. People are intelligent. When they see you living right, and they know that you don't revile. You do the works of 1 Peter. You love people like Jesus loved you. That's a loud attention getter. And then when you speak on his behalf, your words carry too much weight, and to the point that sometimes people want to know. And it's a serious thing. People that were contrary, they'll just come up and tell me their backstory, and you know they say that's a big deal. Men don't do that. They tell you what happened to them.
Right.
That's because the love of, they trust. If you love people, they'll respect you. If you're wise, you'll hold their attention. And if you're holy before people, they'll trust you and they'll tell you their backstory. That lets you know that this is your life is a work of the Holy Spirit, and that happens. More than I thought it would. I put it that way, and then the Lord will help you minister to people. So some people they won't better. They just don't know it, and the Lord is able to read people's hearts.
Uh-huh.
And then some people don't. They try not to learn. I've seen that too, but.
Uh-huh.
And over time, the same people that was trying not to learn will come and ask questions to learn. So, when God is working, you just have to trust him. You can't go by anything. You can't trust what you see more than you trust him. You have to trust him. And then you live in his peace. And when you're one, you follow through with whatever he's doing. I love it.
And amen.
And David, I was blessed by that. that goes right along with it. You know, I love the oneness of the Holy Spirit. He is he's my hero. He's my king. And I love his people. Everybody that yield to him.
Amen.
I thank God for every soul that yield to God. Because I can't, you know, preachers can't go where the people go. But whatever they learn, we all are preachers. You know, the preacher give us a message, and then we go live it. And we broadcast it whether we speak it or not. But it's just a blessing.
Amen.
Testimony of what we learn is a blessing.
Amen. We all are ministers. Mm-hmm. We're ministers of reconciliation.
Amen.
The same way God was in Christ on the cross reconciling the world back to him.
Yeah.
He's inside of us reconciling the world back to him.
Amen. I love it.
Amen. We all are ministers of reconciliation.
That's right. And we're all important.
Yes, we are.
Washed in the blood. I would have done communion today, but I didn't announce it. Next time we'll do communion on Saturday if we do it.
Well, this is our last. this is our last Saturday. Uh-huh. Everything this week is last.
Uh-huh.
Last night was our last prayer night for the summer. Today is our last Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow will be our last Sunday evening.
Yeah, okay.
This climaxed everything for the summer. If we're not back in church and the classrooms, we will have a fall gathering on the phone. We'll have a fall. This was summer.
Mm-hmm.
This climaxed the summer.
Yeah.
And if we're not back in the classrooms, we would have a fall. This summer, then we would have a fall if we're not back in the classroom. Amen? Are y'all there?
Yeah.
Amen.
Good Lord. Y'all know I love to talk. And
amen.
I just want to make sure y'all understand what this climaxed, and I am so grateful that we had this time over the phone, because we reached other states.
Yeah, remember,
and,
all these.
I was glad.
All of our podcasts, except for prayer, is on the newlivingletters.com. And
okay, all right. So we do appreciate everyone that worked with it, and I'm not going to even ask if y'all learned something, because I know you learned something.
Yes, amen. We did. Bless.
I know y'all were blessed, because God gave us some revelation. Y'all know I'm a revelatory person. And I'd be asking Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, you the teacher. Mm-hmm. Now you got the teacher. Mm-hmm. Open up them good treasures and pull us out some wisdom and some understanding. And Holy Spirit did that on this call. Mm-hmm. He did it. And we are so grateful and thankful for him doing what only he can do. Because he knows. He knows the deep things.
Yeah.
And y'all know I am. I want to know what he knows. That's the reason I ask him. It's all right to ask the priest. It's all right to ask the rabbi. It's all right to ask the Greek and Hebrew. Because those things help us in our study.
Mm-hmm.
But please don't leave the Holy Spirit out. Because he said he's the greatest teacher. Now, Jesus said that about him. Mm-hmm. That he'll teach you all things. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, you know, Sister Mary, we don't know everything. I tell them quickly, I house the one that do.
That's right.
I'm housing the one that do mm-hmm. know everything. So that's the reason I ask him. And, you know, people want to rely and lean on what we don't. They want to say, well, we don't know everything. We just know in part. Mm-hmm. Well, the Holy Spirit don't know in part. He knows. The one that introduced him, Jesus,